Come, all you who thirst for the living God. Come, you who are struggling, grieving, hurting.
We come bearing our doubts, our wounds, and our fears.
Come, you who are in need of good news.
We come in search of joy, truth, and light.
Come and find refuge in God, our rock.
Let us again praise the one who is our help and our hope.
My friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now give that peace away, sharing it one with another. If you seek to live a life of meaning and purpose, then welcome to Old South Church, because that is what we try to do, though God knows we do not always get it right. If you seek to live in love and fellowship with God and all God's people and all God's creatures and the planet we call home, then welcome to Old South Church, for that is our guiding star, though it is far from us and we have not arrived. If you believe in a church that tries to walk the walk, or roll up your sleeves and plunge into the messy, hurting world church, then welcome to Old South Church. And take note. Take note of the white insert in your bulletin. There are myriad ways for you to do just that. Roll up your sleeves and wade right in. Please note, especially this today, after worship, Highlander presentation. It is not to be missed. Climate change table in the chapel. And this afternoon, a Harry Huff Memorial concert. Friends, if you believe in infants and in baptism, in the waters of grace, then welcome to Old South Church, for we have those today, a precious infant in the waters of God's amazing grace. So welcome to Old South Church, 350 years old and still at it. We ask that you take a moment to sign the friendship pad. There should be a black pad at the aisle end of every pew. And if you write enough in it, and if we can read your writing, we'll write you back. God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Let us worship this all the time, good God. Stella Cristino, I invite you to come forward for Christian baptism. Bring your parents and godmothers. Also with them is Susan Navia, representing the Board of Ministers and Deacons. Stella has much to say on the day of her baptism, which is all good. In the sacrament of baptism, the church undertakes two matters. First, we proclaim that this child, this precious bundle of life, is a gift from God, a gift for which we pause now to give God our high thanksgiving. And second, we welcome this child into the life of the Christian church. So will you join me in the litany of baptism as printed on your bulletin, starting at the bottom of page 2. We are gathered to present Stella Cristina to the church and to dedicate her to God. What can we affirm about her?
She is a child of God, made in God's image.
As she grows and matures, how will Stella know that she is a child of God, and how will she learn the Christian story? In turn, what will we expect of her?
We look forward to sitting with her at the Lord's table, sharing with her the costs and joys of discipleship, learning and growing with her in the Christian pilgrimage, and declaring with one voice our faith in God and God's Son, Jesus.
Do you, Elizabeth and Brandon, parents, assume your primary responsibility for fulfilling these expectations by growing with Stella in the Christian faith, helping her to become a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by offering her the nurture and support of the Christian Church. And do you, Beata and Lilu, godmothers, agree to guide your godchild into becoming an engaged and complete human being, teaching her about personal sacrifice for a greater good, about grace and reconciliation at times of human weakness, and the power of unconditional love for all people.
We happily and genuinely accept this serious duty.
And Old South Church, do you pledge to maintain a nurturing and challenging Christian environment for Stella Christina?
We do, for she belongs to us as well.
Then may God be with us. I invite you to raise your hands in a posture of Christian blessings over these waters. God of mercy and love, bless this water for the work it is called to do. Bless this water that it may bless Stella to grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. Fill her with the joy of your presence. Increase in her the fruit of your spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of love and patience, and gentleness, the spirit of wonder and true holiness. Amen. Amen. By what name is this child to be called?
Stella Christina.
Stella Christina, we baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Stella Christina, child of God, disciple of Jesus, and member of the church. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please join me in the congregational welcome printed in your bulletin. We rejoice in God's empowering love, freely given to each and all. We welcome you, newly baptized, into the circle of love in Christ's church. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you and to love you. We covenant with you to love God with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.
Thank you. Our scripture lesson comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, beginning at the first verse. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there was a cake at his head, baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights, to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave, and he spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our help and our Redeemer. Amen. A little boy was spending his Saturday in the sandbox. He had his box of trucks and cars and his little plastic pail and the shiny red plastic shovel. And as he was making some roadways and paths through the sandbox, he came across a big rock right in the middle. Using his little shovel, he dug around it and dislodged it, and he was able to slowly roll and push and struggle and get it through the sand to the edge of the sandbox. And then he tried to lift it up over the edge of the wall of the sandbox, and each time he would struggle and push, and as it just about got over the edge, it would come tumbling back down, smushing his chubby little fingers. He tried and he tried, and then burst out in tears of frustration. All this time, his father had been watching from the living room window. And as the tears started to fall, a shadow fell across the boy. It was his father. Gently but firmly, he said, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you had?" The little boy cried and said, "But Daddy, I did. I used all of my strength." And he said, "No, son, you didn't ask me to help." Reaching down, he grabbed the rock and easily tossed it out of the sandbox. This story means a lot to me. This is something I can totally relate to. Anybody else? Maybe you've seen this story play out in your own life. For me, I always seem to find myself struggling with too many grocery bags or rushing all over town running errands when I just don't have the time. I don't know why, but for some reason, I have a real problem asking for help. Like this little boy, I get so focused on the small stuff of what I'm doing, I forget that my greatest strength, the greatest tool I have in my tool belt, is my connection with others. Asking for help is a challenge for so many of us. And asking for help is the theme of our scripture lesson for today. To set the scene, in that land, in that day, there was a corrupt king and an evil queen who exploited the poor and killed anyone who challenged their power. But there was one man in the land, Elijah, who continued to speak out against the corrupt king and queen. This prophet wielded a sword of truth and struck down false prophets who served only power and greed. Now, when the king's wife heard about the prophet and all that he was doing, she sent her soldiers after him to kill him. And Elijah ran for his life. He journeyed a day through into the wilderness until he collapsed under a solitary broom tree, exhausted. And he cried out to God, asking God to take his life, and possibly using the words we find in Psalm 42 and 43. "My soul longs for you, O God. Why have you forgotten me? My tears have been my food day and night. My adversaries taunt me. They say to me continually, 'Where is your God?' Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From those who are deceitful and unjust, deliver me. Send out your light and your truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." Suddenly, an angel appeared and touched Elijah and said, "Get up and eat." And there appeared at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again.
The angel came a second time and touched Elijah and said, "Get up and eat and drink, for the journey will be too much for you." So Elijah ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And he stood there on that mountain, and there was a great wind, so great that it was breaking the mountain apart. But God was not in that great wind. And after the wind, an earthquake that shook the foundations of the mountain. But God was not in that powerful earthquake. And then there was a fire that burned and consumed the land, but God was not in that burning fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence, a void. And Elijah asked for help. Elijah asked God for protection and strength. Elijah asked God to transcend boundaries and touch the earth with a moment of transformation. And God responded, saying, "Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." Elijah returned to the wilderness of that city of Damascus, and within a few years, through the power of God and through the spoken truth of Elijah, the corrupt governor and his wife were deposed. Of course, they were replaced by other corrupt governors, but that's another story for another time. The key to this story, one of the most dramatic depictions of Elijah, is that Elijah directly asks God for help. He asks for help and he's helped, though not in the way Elijah hoped for or expected, but in the way that was in line with God's will. Elijah wanted to die. He wanted his life to be over, his struggle to be over. He wanted to stay in that cave and never come out. He wanted his sufferings to end. But instead, he's given sustenance, food for the journey, in the form of bread and water. And he's given guidance from God. But God's words aren't exactly words of comfort. They're words to urge him on, urge him forward to go back to the wilderness of the city and face his fears. God gives Elijah exactly what he needs, but he only gives these gifts to Elijah because Elijah is humble enough to ask for help. So here's the thing. If you can find the strength or the weakness to ask for help, that is the moment where simultaneously you can become more fully connected to God and to those around you. It's the moment where the divine can break in and enter your life, because when we think that we can do it all on our own, we are closed off to God. But if you can muster enough strength or weakness to even put a prayer on your lips, or if you could turn to one of the Psalms and read those words out loud and say, "God, where are you?" Then you get a direct connection to God in two ways. One, you're saying, "I can't do this alone," which is true. None of us can. Because life isn't about getting things right on your own, it's about recognizing that we need each other. But also, if you call out to God, then you are also connected to all of the people, generations back, all the way back to the first people, Eve or Adam, who cried out to God in fear, in anger, in despair. We have been crying out to God since the dawn of time. And God has been with us. God has heard our cries. And God has brought us through dark times, and God has brought us unexpected sunny days. And so we know that in asking for help, we are using all of our strength. It's not that we're not strong enough to do what we need to do. When we ask for help, we're showing that we are strong enough to know that God is our greatest helper. It may not be the help we expected or the help we wanted, but it will be the help that we need, for God knows our every need better than we ourselves do. So, if you need someone to give you a ride or help you do some grocery shopping, ask, because the person you ask for help may also need someone to talk to or a way to feel connected to others. If you're in a fight with someone and you want them to listen to you, ask. Let me say my piece and then I will listen to you as well. Or if you're in need of some time to be quietly by yourself, put it on your calendar and tell the things in your life that get in the way, no, this is the time that I need. And if what you really need is to feel God's love encircling you, ask God for help. Ask God to help you feel connected to the saints of the past and of the future. Ask God to bless you with a special scripture or a special friend, a good relationship, and these things will come. We cannot be healed unless we seek to be healed. We cannot know what direction our lives should take unless we ask for guidance. We cannot feel true comfort and support unless we are willing to share our life with others. God has blessed us with the capacity to ask for help. And now it's up to us to do just that. Help us, O God. Amen.
Thank you. God be with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is our peace, our light, and our hope.
Let us pray. Lord of grace and mercy, we know that where two or three are gathered, you are in the midst of us. We gather this day to give thanks to you and to appeal to you to sustain us in the future as you have in the past. Once again, we turn to you in joy and thanksgiving, but also in pain and suffering. God, help us. In our despair, God, help us. When we are dispirited, God, help us. Give us the perceptions of Elijah to know when we have been touched and nurtured by an angel. God, help us. Give us an open heart to know your will for us so that we can hear it over the wind, hear it over the earthquake, hear it over the fire, and over all the noise of our existence. God, help us. Open our hearts to hear you in the stillness of our prayers. Direct us to where you would have us go, carried by your strength. We offer prayers, prayerful attention to Katia, Emil, Emily, Rodney, Alice, David, Barbara, Ruth, Janice. And God, hear us now as we pray with those who have passed through our sanctuary this week, one of whom wrote, "Please pray for my brother who is struggling with addiction." Another who wrote, "I pray for peace in this desperate and challenging time." And many others, and some in a hand that I cannot read, and languages I cannot read, but that you know and you can read. Hear these, the prayers of your gathered people, as each one of us lifts our private prayer in the silence of our opened heart. Breaking the silence, we are comforted in saying together the words that Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Church, we're called to support Old South Ministry of Mercy, Justice, and Beauty. Members and friends at Old South Church in Boston answer that call in many ways, but we know it all comes down to these three: time, talent, and treasure. Nancy's sermon last week pointed out the time required for our congregational processes. The Climate Change Task Force is demonstrating to us this afternoon, or after church today, about time that you can give to help the planet. Evidence of talent is abundantly evident in our glorious music and our children's ministries. This is the time we set aside for that third element of the congregational support for ministries of mercy, justice, and beauty. The offering will now be given and received.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Bless and consecrate these, our gifts, O God, and bless and consecrate the giving of them. Bless and make holy these bits of money, of coin. Bless the work we bid them to do, to love the unlovely, to feed the hungry, to companion the lonely, to bring warmth to those who shiver, and comfort to those whose days are filled with fear. Bless and consecrate these gifts and our giving, that your kingdom come, that your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
And now let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord with all our mind, body, strength, and spirit. And let the whole church say, Amen. Amen.